working with our partners in the Clean Water Trust, the Massachusetts Clean Water Trust, the trust on which I sit, the administration and the treasurer sits, and over $2.7 million was made available for this effort.
And how many schools ended up taking advantage of this offer?
We ended up testing and working with over 800, I think it was 818 schools in over 150 cities and towns.
So not quite half of the school systems in the state availed themselves of this, right?
Yes, we understand that that's about right. Yeah, it's a little less than half.
Did that number disappoint you? Did you expect more?
Well, we are trying to encourage. We do have some people that were testing, some school systems that were testing even before the initiative. We've been encouraging school systems to test for some time now. And we did have, I think, about 200 some odd schools, doing testing even before this initiative and without the help of the initiative. But the big picture is we certainly encourage everybody to test because we think that information is useful for figuring out whether or not there are issues.
So, what were the results of this of the testing?
Well, the results of the testing, and this is all available in a report that we published on May 2nd, and it indicates that first of all, we ended up taking over 50,000, almost 55,000 samples in those school buildings. Schools worked with us to identify any faucet where there was a potential for serving consumable water. And from there, we conducted two rounds of testing to determine whether or not there were exceedances of lead and copper action levels. And for I would say that the short form to summarize it is, while the majority of the results came back with no issues, in a lot of schools there was at least one fixture or more where there were issues. I think we ended up determining that there were about 70% of the schools had an issue. And again, some of it was the fact that they were being extremely broad in their testing, including testing fixtures that it probably hadn't been used in years. If the water's not running through a fixture for that length of time, you might see higher levels. But in any case, when they tested those fixtures, we did find that there was an issue to be addressed. And the way schools would address it was one of three ways. They would either certainly they took the fixture offline immediately, and they either made a decision to take it offline permanently. They developed a flushing regime that has to be consistent with federal requirements for flushing, or they replaced the fixture.
What was there so in no instances did you find that it was the source, the actual drinking water source, that was a result of contamination? It was through an individual fixture.
That's generally the experience, yes. I would say, and certainly in this initiative, we didn't have any indication that the lead was coming from the source water. You're right. What we learned was exactly as you indicated, that it was either coming through through piping or fixtures. Sometimes, fixtures might have lead, or sometimes if it's older solder, it might have lead components. So that's what we were seeing.
Now, will the schools be able to conduct ongoing testing under the state program, or was this a one-off deal?
We do still have some resources available. And so we have about $600,000 available for schools that didn't take advantage of it in the first round to potentially sign up for the program and get help either raising their expertise so they can do the testing on their own and maybe even paying for some sampling, at the state's expense. A lot of what we're trying to do is demystify what needs to be done to test so it's easier for schools to test. That's what a lot of the technical assistance component was. We recognize that, people in schools may not do a lot of water quality testing otherwise. So we really wanted to make it user-friendly and easy by, making the to-dos very clear, being very clear about what labs can accept the results, making all of the reporting online so that it's an easy transmission and the data is available in our system. So we spent a lot of time trying to make sure that testing is knowable and easy so people will test again in the future.
And testing is, we should point out, testing is not legally required, right?
That's right. Under this program, it's a voluntary, you know, under the federal law, it's a voluntary program. But we think it's a really good idea to do this testing.
And the results of this round of testing are publicly available, correct?
That's correct. All results are published on the Mass DEP website. There's a banner on our homepage that you can link directly to all the information about the program, including a listing of what communities have tested and what the results are.
I guess my last question would be, based on the results, is there any reason for people to be concerned about the health and safety of children in schools?
I would say the good thing about testing is that we raise awareness, and we are able to make sure that people find these problems as early as possible. And again, our experience with the schools is they've been extremely proactive when they identified the problem. We would like to make sure that people are continuing to do that, because knowledge and information is the quickest way to make sure that we're not experiencing long-term problems.